In the first part of the shiur on tzitzis, we spoke about the overall meaning of beged, idea of clothing, and how, just like by the first sin, the original sin of Adam and Chava, clothing represented the shame of allowing their animal sense to dictate how they made their decisions about what's right and wrong. So too, the tzitzis that we're commanded to wear are an extension of that beged. It's the tzitz, the full development, as we explained, of what beged represents. And we're to remember by this to do all the mitzvahs of Hashem. How so? Because by looking at our tzitzis, we're reminded of the notion of beged. We're reminded who we are as people and how to subjugate our urges to the dictates of Hashem. We also explained that the gedil, that's the part that's wrapped around the top of the tzitzis, but closer to the garment, represents free-willed self-restraint, choosing to do the ratzon Hashem. And then with that commitment, we're given the rest of the strings hang loosely. We're given free rein, not free rein. We're given self-expression through or within the confines of that self-restraint. In other words, within the Torah's mitzvahs, we have plenty of wiggle room, plenty of room to express ourselves and to live fully, in the fullest sense of the word, and mostly happily. Today, we're going to talk about Techeles to start with, and then we'll get into some other aspects of tzitzis, such as the four corners, eight strings, and maybe one other issue. Okay. So let's talk firstly about where we know of Techeles already in the Torah. In the Mishkan, the idea of Techeles comes up over and over again. The Kohen Gadol, he wore a me'il, pesil Techeles. Where he wore a coat or a garment, completely techeles. More than that, the Aron HaKodesh, when they traveled throughout the Midbar, the Aron HaKodesh, when they traveled, the outer appearance of that was fully techeles. So when you saw the Kohen Gadol walking, you saw techeles. When you saw the Aron HaKodesh being carried, you saw techeles. But not just those, but there were other parts of the Mishkan, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbach has Zohav inside it, where we burn the Ketores on, and all of the Kelim that are used in the Mishkan, they were all covered directly with an inner covering of Techeles. In other words, that's the part that touched them. On the outside, it didn't appear as Techeles, but Techeles was there as well. That's not all. The Pesil Techeles and the threads and the loops of Techeles were always there to connect things. For instance, the Arios, the curtains, were joined into one piece by lulaos techeles, loops of techeles. And the Kohen Gadol's breastplate, the choshen, was joined to the ephod, that apron, with pesil techeles, threads of techeles, to form one unit. Also, lastly, the tzitz, that's the band on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, Kodesh Lashem, that was held in place by a pesil techeles. So over and over again, we see Techeles in the Mishkan. So let's understand, what is this Techeles? What is the message of Techeles? And why was Techeles so predominant in the Mishkan? So here and in other places, Hirsch writes about the idea of the colors of the spectrum. In this essay, he writes about it. And he says the following. He calls it conjecture. It's his idea. He realizes he doesn't have, absolute certainty, but it's a very nice suggestion and it makes a lot of sense. And wherever he mentions it, it fits beautifully. In the Chumash, where Adam is first introduced, he says it for the first time, and like I said, here too, it appears. The spectrum represents the material world. When white light, meaning that which comes from beyond the materialism of this world, in other words, spirituality, Hashem, shines through the prism. In other words, it's the metaphor is Hashem interacting and coming into this world. So the first color that one sees, the least refracted of the light rays, of the pure white light, is the color red, as we often mention Roy G. Biv, those who have studied that in school, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Violet being the last color in the colors of the rainbow of the spectrum. So red, Hirsch and Chumash mentions Adam is the representative of man in this world, the one that senses that pure white light the most within the material, physical world. And then when you get to the other end of the spectrum, you get to the colors of blue and violet. And he says the point of Techelis, that color, it's really not about the color blue. It's the fact that we really know that that's not the last color that's out there. It's just the last one that we can comprehend. Modern science has taught us there's a notion of ultraviolet rays, and apparently in Hirsch's time too, they knew about it. They could measure it, but they couldn't. The naked eye can't see these things, and so the notion. And apparently, he's saying that even in the Mishkan, this idea was known to them, that this is as far as we can see. In other words, where that light, spirituality, radiates through the various stages and parts of this material world. Don't think that's all that you could. That's all there is of Hashem in this world. There's parts and areas that you will never fathom. And in this universe, far beyond our reach, Hashem is far beyond our comprehension. So Techelis is the bridge that leads the thinking person from the visible physical sphere of the terrestrial world into the unseen sphere of heaven beyond. So that's why Chazal say in the famous Medrash that Techelis Domo L'Yam, that the color Techelis reminds us of the color of the sea. And that Doma V'yam Doma L'Rakia, that reminds us of the color of the sky. Rakia L'Kisei HaKavod, and that reminds us of God's throne. Shenemar, the Tachas Raglav Kemase Livnas HaSapir, like the actions are under Hashem's feet, as it were. Like the shape of the carving of Maise Livnas HaSapir, a brick made of sapphire, Uke Etzem HaShamayim L'Tor, the purity of the of heaven itself. So there's an allusion to Shamayim itself, far beyond our grasp, being the color blue, but blue really is as far as we can see, and it means there's something beyond our grasp that's out there. So it represents Shamayim. So Hirsch adds the following. He said, I'm going to read straight from the essay. Therefore, no other color was as appropriate as Techelis to signify God's special relationship with Israel. A thread of Techelis color on our garments conferred upon all of us the insignia of our high priestly calling, proclaiming to all of us, Anshe Kodesh Tihyun Li, you shall be holy man to me, and symbolically expressing our calling, Va'atem Tihyu Mamleches Kohanim Begoy Kodesh, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So that's one thing. If the Mishkan is, throughout the Mishkan we see Techelis, so we wearing that is already telling us we have a high priestly calling. But now let's think about the tzitzis itself. Why is that the thread that wraps itself around the other threads? So let's read further. If we now turn attention to the Pesil Techelis on our tzitzis, we will note that it was precisely this thread of Techelis color that formed the krichos, the gedil, the thread wound around the other threads to make a cord. In other words, the vocation of the Jew, the Jewish awareness awakened by the Mishkan, that power which is to prevail within us, must act to unite all our kindred forces within the band of the Mishkan of God's law. The Mishkan represents God's law, the Aron HaKodesh, which is obviously the place that sends us back to Har Sinai. The Luchos are in the Aron HaKodesh. So we're reminded, and the whole symbolism, Hirsch's explanation of the Mishkan is, it's the Makom which talks to us about the Devar Hashem, the Word of Hashem, and all the other things that it spills out from there, and our dedication to that is about our dedication to the Ratzon Hashem, to God's will and God's Torah, both intellectually, physically, emotionally. All of that's represented by the various Kelim in the Mishkan, and the Karbanos that we bring is our dedication to our commitment to live by Hashem's ideals. So the Techelis, if that's what Techelis means, the highest level of realizing the heaven beyond, and that we're makabel, that we accept upon ourselves what it is that Hashem wants of us. So we take that blue string, as we said before, that represents our restraint in our actions to follow God's law, represented now beautifully by the color of Techeles. We wrap that around the other strings representing all the energies of the human. And then it flows freely afterwards because our actions are like we said in the introduction again today, our actions are given a bracha from Hashem. Go live your lives. Enjoy it. And live fully within the context of what the Torah asks of you. However, it's not just the techeles that hangs low. It's all the other colors as well, because the color blue is the Jewish color. But it doesn't mean that we don't also have the other aspects of humanity in there too. As we said before in the previous year, there's a notion of Mensch Yisrael. There's the basic baseline of what God expects of all humanity, and that's all of our actions to be dedicated to Hashem. And then there's this higher level of restrictions and commandments by the Torah. So while our dedication is full and it's lasos is kol mitzvos Hashem, that's the higher level expected of the Jew, but we join the rest of the world in our expression, and that's the other strings hanging together with the techeles at the end of our tzitzis. Talking about the strings, this brings us to the number of strings that are on our tzitzis. So we know that there are, I'll just talk to the Rambam. The Rambam, the Rashba, the Rambam, Hilchas Tzitzis, Perek Aleph, Halacha, Vav, check out the Kesef Mishnah, it says Hirsch over there. So the Rambam explains the total number of the threads are 8. There are really 4 strings that are folded in half. And one of those 4 strings is actually half blue, half techeles, and half is white. Or really, when we say white, we mean other than the techeles. Now, Hirsch alludes to other essays about these numbers that I'm going to now bring up. 6, 7, and 8. He says he has the essay on the subject of Mila. Bezes Hashem, we'll get to that in a different shir. But in the he mentions it also in Maisa Bereshis. He alludes to these same 6, 7, and 8 ideas as follows. 6 represents the general world of action, our basic world. That's Maisa Bereshis. And even man was brought into the world within the 6th day. And then the next phase beyond that, 7, which is Shabbos, is already beyond just the creation. It's there to focus on Hashem's creation and for man to look back and understand. So the way Hirsch puts it, the visible world created in the 6 days was given the 7th day as a day of remembrance and as a bris with what's not visible. Hashem, the Borei, the Creator. So we have the physical, tangible world, and then on the 7th day, we focus on the invisible behind that which is visible, and to give tribute and correct direction to what to do with this world in front of us. Hirsch in Bereshis mentions that all the days of the week, they had a partner. Hashem made light, and then he gave the luminaries, and he goes through the set of that the first day has its application on the 4th day, the 2nd day has its application on the 5th day, and the 3rd day, what he created there, has its application on the 6th day. But the 7th day, this idea of recognizing Hashem, it doesn't have a partner until Hashem says, you do have a partner, you have the Jewish people. So what this is really saying is that there's a new Bria. Beyond 7, there's an 8th Bria, and that's Klal Yisrael. So the Jewish people, we are the number 8. That's unlike the famous Varta the Maharal, that 8 is beyond nature. Hirsch has a different understanding of the number 8, as I just explained, that 8 is the role of the Jewish people, accepting upon themselves this higher level of living, accepting the Shabbos as our calling. He mentions in a number of essays, if a Jew is Shomer Shabbos, he's called a Jew. Shem Shabbos, because that's our role. Where the rest of the world was given Shabbos Bereshis, they failed at that. And so Hashem chose Avraham Avinu and ultimately Klal Yisrael to accept the Shabbos in a much more elevated way And we give Shabbos a place of landing in this world to ultimately help the world come back to their recognition of Hashem and their dedication to what to do with this physical world. So when you have the Jew, I'll put it to you this way. Let me read it from page 130. The number seven, in both language and law, both the translation of it and what halacha tells us, is a symbol of Hashem, the invisible one, who rules over the visible world and who made a covenant with it as its Lord and Master. The number eight symbolizes the people of Israel, the agent appointed by God to effect the rebirth of the world. So as human beings and even more as Jews, I'm reading again from later in the essay, we are to subordinate with free-willed, godlike energy our sixth to the seventh and the eighth. We must control our physical, sensual element by means of the human and Jewish element within us. We are to restrain the former by means of the latter and bind up the former with the latter into inextricable knots. But then we must permit all our faculties held together by this bond to unfold freely in equal importance and in complete harmony. That's the message of the 6, 7, and 8. Now let's move on to the idea of four corners. At the beginning of the shiur, the previous shiur, I mentioned that there's another pasuk besides the one that's well known, the one that we read every day in Kriya Shema. There's a pasuk in Devarim, Perek Chaf Beis, that says, "Gedilim, ta'aseh lach." Make for yourself twisted cords, al arba kanfos kisusra, upon the four corners of your garment, asher techaseba, with which you cover yourself. So, firstly, notice that the garment here it's not called beged, as it is previously in Bamidbar, the end of Parashat Shlach. Here it's called kisusra. Also, it's called gedilim here, cords as opposed to pisil. And Hirsch also points out that kanfos is not the same as kanfei. Maybe we'll get into that as well. Well, let's go back to the idea of clothing and try to see why the Torah would have two different ways of referring to our clothing. At the time of the Chet of Adam HaRishon, the initial shock and shame of what they had done by listening to their animal urges and not listening to the will of Hashem, but rather their own perception and their own urges dictating what's right and wrong, when they felt embarrassed by that, they covered up their body because it was their body, it was their sensual side which was the cause of not listening to their mind and to the higher self. So that's one aspect of a beged. It conceals. As Hirsch explains, the word beged itself, we have other usages of the word beged, such as to be unfaithful is livgod, bogad, to deceive. And beged essentially denotes an idea of covering over, concealing, as you would if you're deceiving and being unfaithful. But in this case, we're covering up that part of ourselves that we're uncomfortable, we're ashamed of, that we allowed that to rule over our better self and not to use it. Before the chet, there was nothing wrong with being naked. But once we realized that that side of ourselves was in charge, then we wanted to put it in the background to remind ourselves of what the primary part of a human is. And then, of course, with the right direction, as we mentioned earlier, that's the loose strings hanging afterwards. Once you know how to restrain yourself with the Ratzon Hashem, of course, there's expression for every aspect of a human. That's beged. But there's another clothing that happens there in the banishment, at the time of the banishment from Gan Eden. Hashem gave Adam and Chava clothing too. And they were made of hide. And they were a protection, because he was sending them out to Golos. And it's mechaseh, it's a kisui. A kisui is a protective covering. And so that's a whole other concept of clothing. So when we're given our tzitzis, and now the Torah refers to it as a kisui, it's a different message. So what is that? What is the message here? Okay. So one idea, the Hirsch explains, is that we notice that there's the word ledorosam in the first pasuk, which we should have not yet considered, and to which al arba kanfos in the second passage may perhaps serve as a contrasting element, ledorosam. Where is that ledorosam? I'm sorry, I don't have the Chumash up in front of me now. So I'm going to move on past that quote. The passage referring to Beged directs us to the voice of God within us. That's the one in Vayomar Hashem in Bamidbar, which in the form of shame makes us aware of our higher moral calling as human beings. This pasuk demands of us not to ignore that voice and show us that we can satisfy the demands of that voice only by subordinating all the physical aspects of our nature to the law of God, which brings our human vocation to its most complete development within Judaism. Then he goes on, Al kanfei vigdehem ledorosam, right, that's for ledorosam right there, Bamidbar, for all their generations, ledorosam, for all their ages, even if one day, listen carefully now, here's a very potent message, even if one day they should become a dor tam, apparently he's darshaning a medrash here, ledorosam, dor tam, a dor that seems to be so complete and so perfect, having entered an era of apparent consummate moral perfection. He's quoting here Tana d'Vayla Yo. And you think that, well, we know about morality already. We've become elevated. We know all about it. It's funny, Hirsch is talking in the 1800s in Germany. Maybe he understood that deep down, Germany wasn't so perfect after all. And we know what happened in the 1930s and 40s. But even if we have a generation that seems to be so moral and so good, there will never be a generation of Jews that could wave this symbol of warning or that should seek to attain moral perfection as human beings upon a foundation other than the foundation of Judaism and of an unabridged divine law. Nothing's going to ever replace the Torah to teach us morality, even if man thinks it's figured out how to be moral. So, because al kanfei vigdehem ledorosam, this law of Hashem represents not a beginning of how to begin to become moral, but a final accomplishment. That is the end for a Jew. There will never be an era that can emancipate you from my service. That's one idea. And then he says, but it's also al arba kanfos kesuscha. Look in the pasuk in Devarim. It's true, there is an idea for all generations. What is al arba kanfos kesuscha? All the four corners. One day the Jews are going to go into Golus and we're going to need protection and covering, like the word kesus, that just like Hashem sent us into exile when he banished Adam and Chava from Gan Eden, the Jews sent out into Golus, into the four corners of the earth, wherever we're going to be. We're going to need protection. All the vicissitudes of a harsh world are going to affect us. And the Jew has to stay strong. We lost what we once had in the beautiful, flourishing Eretz Yisrael. And no matter what's thrown at us, Hashem is telling us, never forget to stay loyal and true, no matter how hard the tests are, no matter how harsh, and maybe how alone the Jew sometimes feels. Stay steadfast and single-mindedly pursue your own path back to where you came from. Just like Adam and Chava were told that, we too have our mission. Stay steadfast and come back to your roots. I'll quote you again. Judaism ennobles man's working clothes by adorning them with the symbol of the freedom inherent in the high priestly self-control, that's the Techeles, and by teaching him to knot the gedilim to the ksus. Judaism, despite thorns and thistles, sweat and toil, or perhaps precisely because of these, understands how to preserve for man his human vocation, his human dignity, his morality, and his holiness. So that's another aspect. So gedilim tasalucha, alaba kanfos kesuscha, asher techaseba. Remember the idea of who you are. You're like the Kohen Gadol in a harsh world. Hashem is protecting you, and despite maybe your solitude and the difficulties in any generation, anti-Semitism and difficulties in where we may be at any given time. Remember, the protection of Hashem is always there for you. So there's two aspects. Don't forget that you're higher than an animal, and don't forget Hashem is with you no matter what he throws at you. I'll just conclude here with how Hirsch ends this essay. That there's a pasuk in Zechariah that offers us hope. It's not just that the Jews should hold steadfast and stay true despite what people around us may think, but we hope that one day the world around us will want to join us. As I'll quote, "Be steadfast and true, for in this steadfast lies our vocation and also our happiness. If we endure and preserve, the time will come when the nations will strive to join with us, as it is written. Ko amar Hashem tzevakos v'yomim mahema." This is a pasuk from Zechariah, Perek Ches, pasuk Chaf Gimel. Ko amar Hashem tzevakos, so said Hashem, the God of hosts, v'yomim mahema, those days, asher yachziku asara anashim, mikol lashonos hagoyim, that 10 people will hold on to from all the nations, all the languages of the nations. V'hechziku b'knaf ish Yehudi. They're going to hold on to the corner of a Jewish man. Lemar, to say, Lemar, Nelchay machem, let us go with you. Ki shamanu elokim yimachem. We've heard God is with you. So ultimately, apparently, Hirsch is saying that pasuk is an allusion to them recognizing what their tzitzis have done for us, and now they want to grab onto those tzitzis too and join us in recognizing that it's the law of God represented by the Tchelis, tied on to the Beged, tied on to both recognizing the sense of shame in letting our animalistic side be the predominant side, and also the encouragement to know that Hashem is with us no matter what our travails may be. They want to join the Jewish people in recognizing this is what builds us up, this is what keeps us holy and pure. With this, we'll conclude the shiur. Bezus Hashem, the next shiurim will be on the subject of tefillin.